All right, Jabosai, my apologies about that. Some technical difficulties this morning again. Okay, but I think now we are on track. Begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating all the Shemir Joshua's this month as a zechus for Refuah Shleimah of Kathy's sister, Donna Baker Matson, and our Day of Learning sponsors, Alan and Sherry Steinmetz, in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Alan's mother, Chaya Basra Meir. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah and the family in the Chamar. But with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Chof Aleph 21. But we are picking up in Meretz Hashem. We are picking up on Chof Amud Beis. And we left off. Where did we leave off? Bayroim Barchama. Okay, so let's just pick up over there. We actually got a little bit into this. It's right across from Tosfos Sefer Echad Amarachmana. So, Boy Rabbi Barchama, Rabbi Barchama has the following cash. Hay muchzakim be'eved shehu shelo, v'get kasav al yado. Let's hear the following case. You have an eved kinani, and the chazaka was, the understanding was that the eved belonged to the husband. Now what happens? The eved turns up, and there is a get that is written on the hand of the eved. Bahari hu yotzi mitachas yado. But now the eved is in the possession of the woman. So what's the shayla? Mahu. What's the halach over here? So do we say, so there are two possibilities. Possibility A is that the husband conveyed ownership of the eved to the isha. If the husband did this, then what would be the halacha? She'd be migresha, she'd be divorced, because as we established in the Mishnah, technically speaking, you can write a get on the hand of the eved. On the other hand, what's the concern? The concern is that maybe the husband did write the get on the hand of the eved. But remember again, in order for that get to be effective, the eved would have to be conveyed to the isha. Maybe we should be concerned over here that the eved went on his own volition. He just wandered on his own over to the woman. Now, if he wandered on his own over to the woman, then what? Then the get would not be good. Because remember again, as much as the get may be written effectively, halacha lemaisa, it lacks a proper conveyance. So what do we assume happened over here? So Amar Rava. Rava said, Rava said, another problem. Why is this should be a problem? Because this type of writing ultimately could be forged or tampered with. But the Gemara says, Rava kashya mas nisin. But according to Rava, if this is your problem, the truth is then the Mishnah poses a problem as well. Because what does the Mishnah say? Al hayad shal eved. Remember again, the Mishnah itself says that you could write a get on the hand of an eved. Aye, but isn't this the type of writing that could be tampered with? So Bishlam Masisan Rava lo kashya. So according to Rabbi, the Mishnah is not going to pose the question because you can set up the Mishnah as Be'ede Mesira v'Rabbi Elazarini. The Rabbi said the Mishnah could be talking about a case of Ede Mesira where there are witnesses who witness the giving over of the get. Therefore, they see the writing on the hand of the Eved, and as long as the writing is fully intact and proper at the time of the giving over of the get, then the get is totally valid. Al-Rabbi Barchama Kasha. But according to Rabbi Barchama, what are you going to do? Rabbi Barchama Namilo Kasha B'Ksoves Kako. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about, again, a tattoo. Right? A tattooed get. A tattooed get. So therefore, because it's a tattooed get, therefore there is no possibility. It's tamper-proof. It's tamper-proof. Someone says, okay, well, once you're saying that, Hashem da'asas lahachi, once you're talking to me about a tattooed get, then masnisin nami lo tikshi b'ksuvas kako. Then the truth is, the easiest way to also understand the case of the Mishnah, we'll say, is with that tattooed get, that when, in fact, the Mishnah says that you can write a get on the hand of the Eved and hand that over to the Isha. What is that talking about? That indeed is also talking about a get that is tattooed upon the Eved. And therefore, Halacha Lemaisa is Ksav Shin Yochal is Daif, is the type of writing that can't be tampered with. Incredible. So, my Haviyala. So, we'll say, so bottom line, what's the answer to our question? And once again, we asked a very specific question. What was our specific question? And the woman has in her possession an Eved. The Eved has on his hand a get. Okay, so let's establish right now it's a tattooed get, so therefore the writing itself is tamper-proof. What are we concerned about? How did the Eved get to the Isha? If the Eved ultimately was conveyed by the husband, then fantastic. It could be a proper get. Our concern is that because an Eved has the ability to walk on his own, maybe he just walked over to the woman. In which case, again, the get would be invalid because halacha l'maisa. Because halacha l'maisa, there was no proper conveyance. So what's the halacha? So tashma, the Amar Reish Lakish hagodros inlan chazaka. So we'll say Reish Lakish said godros. So we'll say what are godros? Goatros ultimately, again, are animals that move about on their own. Rashi says, "Ovia Goatros, Behemos, Ashim Goatros, Son, Einlen Chazaka, Adam Shetafsan, Ein Yochal, Liton, Lebaaleim, Mechartimli, Diika, Lememar, Meatzen, Halchu, Etzlar." Both say, in general, there is a concept that, right, we have it in secular law also, that possession is 9/10 of the law. Right? So the truth is, there is a concept like this in halacha as well. If you're in possession of something, and someone wants to challenge your ownership, the general rule is, hamotzi mechavero alav harayo. If you want to extract something from someone, ultimately, again, the burden of proof is upon you, the extractor. So the idea being is that if I have something in my possession, the halacha essentially is, listen, if you have it in your possession, it's yours. Now, what's interesting is there are certain exceptions to that rule. One of the exceptions to that rule are things that we know wander off on their own. So the example is our godros. So we'll say godros are animals that often just, right, wander out. They pasture. So sheep are often a good example like this. So again, if I go ahead and, you know, Reuven claims I sold him my sheep, and I say, no, I didn't. He says, well, look, it's in my possession. I say, well, no. Possession is not a raya over here, because everyone knows that sheep roam around. So Moshe says, interestingly enough, the Gemara says over here, Reish Lakish seems to indicate, since Avodim walk around, right, people walk around, therefore having an Eved in your possession in no way indicates that ultimately, again, this Eved was properly given over by the husband. So Moshe says, so interestingly enough, the Gemara seems to say, is in the case of the get written on the hand of the Eved, simply having that Eved in the woman's possession does not certify the validity of the get. So what does? So I'll tell you, interesting, the Rambam in this case over here says as follows. This is in Hilchos Gerishin, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet. Here is the case. This is how the Rambam formulates it. Haya haget chakuk al yado shel eved b'ksov es kaka. So this is how the Rambam understands it. If the get was tattooed on the hand of the eved, why tattooed? Eni yachol is dai, if you can't tamper with it. V'haya yotzei mitachas yada, she has possession of the Eved. V'hayu ha'edim chakukim al yado, ha'rezim migureshes afapi she'in la'edim esira. So I'll say, Rambam frames this in an interesting way. If the get is tattooed on the Eved's hand, and the edim are tattooed on that get, then all, and she has the Eved, divorced. That's enough for us to assume that this process was executed properly. Now, listen, even though what don't we have in this case? We don't have Edim Esira. Remember again, what are Edim Esira? Edim Esira are witnesses who witness the actual conveyance of the get. So even though now, we'll say, what do we have to be concerned about? Well, maybe the Eved walked over of his own volition. The Rambam says no. If you have proper writing and proper witnesses, and again, all of that is tattooed on the Eved, we're good, right? That's enough to tell us that this was proper. Now watch this. He says, Shahari in yachol his daif, because you have a proper get that cannot be tampered with. Afilo hayu muchzakim be'avetshu shalo, v'get chakuk al yado, v'yotze mitachas yada, v'hi omeres be'edem nimsali. Now what happens ultimately, again, if the get is written, but the edim are not. So I will say, so again, remember, a get with the absence of edim signed on will only work if there are edim esira. I'll say, I do want to point out, we haven't yet gotten to the sugya of Ede Chasima Karsi or Ede Mesira Karsi. We've referenced it a number of different times. So again, although we're bringing it up, we haven't really delved into it, but it's the fundamental machlokas about what affects the validity of the get. Is it the signatures of the witnesses on the document or the witnesses who witness the conveyance of the document? So that's the fundamental machlokas. So without delving too far into it, so the Rambam has a parallel case. That if you have a get written on the hand of an Eved, tattooed so it can't be forged, the witnesses are on there as well, tattooed as well. And halacha lemaisa, if the woman produces this Eved in her rishus, that is enough for us to ascertain that that is enough for us to be comfortable with the fact that the get was given over in the proper way. Incredible. Good about says Kavaiter. Just point out that Rambam has the other case. The other case ultimately is if you have a get written on the hand of an Eved, but Allah Almighty, there are no witnesses signed on it, and she's claiming but it was given over to me in front of Eidei Mesira, that's not going to be a case of proper divorce. It's Rambam Paskins, it's Safek Negreshes. Why Safek? Why Safek in that case? Because since Avadim could wander on their own, her producing of this Eved without producing proper Eidei Mesira ultimately, again, does not allow her to claim that she is divorced. Okay. What was another interesting case. What happens if halacha lemaisa? There is a chazaka that there's a tablet. Tablet is a tablet, right? There's a tablet that she owns. The get kasuv aleha. There's a get written on it. Vahari hi yotzi mitachas yado. Now Rabbi will say he has it. Okay, so he will say here's the case. The husband is giving his wife a get, right? But interestingly enough, what is the get written on? The get is actually written on an item that she owns. Now Rabbi will say the halacha is that a get has to be commissioned and actually has to be owned by the husband himself. Has to be owned by the husband. So in this interesting case, the get is being written on an item that everyone knows belonged to the woman, is now currently in the possession of the husband. So the husband's writing the get on it and conveying it back and giving it to the woman. So the Gemara says, Mahu, what's the halacha over here? Is this a proper get? Why? What's the shayla? Mi amrinan aknuye akni salei. Do we say, listen, the woman knows that the get has to be owned by the husband, and therefore what did she do? She gave ownership of the tablet over to the husband. Odama, isha lo yada laknuye. Or maybe I will say, literally translated, a woman does not know how to be makna, does not know how to convey ownership of something over to someone. I will say, what does it mean? A woman doesn't know how to convey ownership of something. What does that mean? Rashi says over lo yad laknuye lo gamra umakniye davar she'in baliba la seis matana gimura velo girsha ala b'shal. So I'll say maybe it's just that she's unaware of this halacha. In other words, what we're concerned about is like this. Maybe she doesn't know that the halacha really is that the get has to be owned to the husband. So she gives him the tabla, she gives him the tablet to write the get on bo'at ro'osai, but she never really has in mind to convey ownership over it. So that's the shayla. So we'll say, so now again, get is being written on something that clearly belonged to the woman. But now the husband has it, he writes it, he gives her the get. So the shayla is this a valid get? What does it hinge on? Possibility A, she gave him over she conveyed him as a matana, as a gift, the tablet, and therefore the get is valid. Or maybe a woman doesn't realize that the husband really has to own the get, and therefore halacha lemaisa, she didn't convey ownership over it, and therefore the get would be invalid. What's the halacha? Amar Abaye, Tashma, afu eid al kfar katan sheb sayushan. So let's listen to this. So he gave testimony about a small village that was on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. V'haya bazakin echad. There was an older man there. So we'll say this, apparently this was the older man, the elder of the city, very wealthy guy. He used to make loans to the people of the city. The kosev biksav yado, he would write out the documents, v'acherim chosmin, and others would sign. Now we'll say, Tosis takes issue with this case and say, probably it's not really a case of a loan, but a case of a sale. Because we'll say the halacha is in general, when you're giving something to someone, The giver has to be the one who makes the loan. Who has to be the one who makes the shtar, right? Who has to convey the shtar. So in this case, Hevi Rabbo says, Tosis says, it makes more sense that this is talking about a sale and not a loan. But again, for our purpose, we're not going to delve too much into this right now. The point over here is, it was the borrowers slash purchasers who really, or I should say slash sellers, who really needed to own the document. The problem was, it was the Zakein who was the one who was writing all of the documents and what? Conveying ownership of the documents over to the people. And this episode came before the Chachamim. V'achshiruhu. And ultimately, again, they said the transactions are legitimate. V'amai. Ha ba'ina sefer makne. Oy, but one second, they'll say, but aloha lamaisa. Mikne, sorry. But based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, ultimately, again, remember, the person conveying ownership of the item, right, of let's say, giving over the matana, he has to be the one, right, who's making the document. And over here, the elder is the recipient. So how could he go ahead and make the document? To which the Gemara says, It must be because we know that the elder, what did he do, Abbas? What did he do? As much as he drafted it, what did he do? He conveyed ownership of the document over to the people. So what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, there is the ability for one party to draft the document and what? Convey ownership over the document to the necessary party. So therefore, same idea. Going back to our original question. Even though the woman is the owner of the tabla, no problem. She can convey ownership over the tabla to the husband. He now becomes the owner over it, and he can write the gant on it. Rava my kushya. Rava says, I don't understand why this is a problem. Dilma, top of Chaf Aleph, zokin shiny, tiyada la'aknuye. I will say, so again, remember, our concern over here is not about the ability to do something. Our concern over here is about whether or not the woman involved knows what she has to do. In other words, I will say, the ability for one party to go ahead and either write a document or take the vehicle for the document and convey ownership of that to another party, that's not in question. Like, that we know can be done. What's our shayla? What's our shayla? Was it done? Was it done, right? Does a woman know? Does a woman know? And I was going to say, remember, the Gemara is also making the assumption over here that just historically, right, from the vantage point of the Gemara, women were not necessarily making shtaris, right? They weren't entering into contractual agreements per se. They weren't making documents. So therefore, I was that's the mindset that the Gemara is operating from. So because of that, the Shaila just is, you know, Rachel's getting divorced from Reuven. She has a tablet. She's willing to give the tablet over for the get. But again, the get has to be owned by the husband. So what does Rachel think she's doing when she gives over the tablet? She figures, okay, whatever, I'm just giving, I'm letting him borrow it. So it's coming back to me anyway, so I'm just letting him borrow it. Or no, does she understand that she actually has to convey ownership over the tablet to him? So it's not a question of possibility. It's a question, ultimately, again, of mindset. So Ela Amar Rava Mehalcha. So as Rabbi understands it, it was an interesting case. They will say, this is actually a very interesting case. Imagine the following situation. Reuven lends $10,000 to Shimon. Right? So Reuven lends $10,000 to Shimon. So ultimately, again, so what happens? Rabbi say, after the document is signed, there's a guarantor that signs after the signatures. Now, we'll say, now that's always interesting. In other words, generally, if there's going to be a guarantor, the guarantor is going to be written into the actual formal parts of the document itself, ultimately, again, and then the witnesses sign on the transaction in its entirety. In this case, the guarantee is written in after the signatures of the document. So, Girashi, the Achra Chitum, the Achra Shenechta Mashtar, Kasav Arev, Ksav Yadovani Arev. So, I'll say, so the way it worked was like this, that after the, so again, Reuven lent Shimon $10,000, that's included in the document, and then afterwards it says, and Levi writes in his own handwriting, and I guarantee this debt for Shimon. Okay, so what's the halacha? Govim menechas menechorin. Ultimately, we'll say, if Shimon the borrower defaults, Reuven could go ahead and collect, but Reuven could only collect from unencumbered properties. Unencumbered properties. What's the logic? Rashi says, Govim menechas menechorin. We'll say, first short line in Rashi, but ultimately, again, not from encumbered properties. Kevon deleka shtar be'edim, less like kala, v'havile kimil v'alpeh. So we'll say this is fascinating. In general, the halacha is, any loan recorded in a document, you're allowed to collect from encumbered properties. Why? Because the assumption is that a shtar, a document, generates a kol, generates a publicity associated with it. The challenge over here is because the guarantee is coming after this document has already been solidified. This is considered to be as if the guarantee is not recorded in a document. Because it's not recorded in a document, again, Levi has committed himself, but again, Levi's commitment only devolves upon unencumbered property. So Reuven, the lender, would not be permitted to go ahead and seize from Levi any encumbered property, because it's as if Levi's guarantorship, I don't know if that's the proper word, but guarantorship ultimately is not recorded in a document. Okay, finish Rashi. Rashi says, V'ama kol adam nami makne, daha haishtara, kishechasawa ariv la'achar zman, kavar haya masra l'milva, l'malva, v'heich nichsia ariv hazeh mishtabdin, v'ha ba'inan sefer mikne. And I'll say, now watch, this is actually fascinating. The Gemara's understanding over here, that in order for a guarantor, ultimately, again, to really be on the hook, he has to have possession of the, he has to have some level of ownership over the document. So the problem we'll say over here is, since he's signing on it, since he's right signing on it, literally after the document has been executed, who has possession of the document? Who has possession of it? Right? The lender, right? Because that's his vehicle for collection. So ultimately, again, how does the guarantor become obligated in his guarantorship when he never has possession of the document at any point in time? But say, remember again, why does the guarantor have to have some level of possession of the document? Because what is the guarantor giving over? What is he giving over? He's giving over his guarantorship, which creates a lien on his property. So what is it?
It's
guarantee. He's giving over his guarantee. Got it. Like I was saying, his guarantorship, right? So got his guarantee. All right, the idea of the Gemara's highlighting over here is that halacha l'maisa, when you are conveying something to someone else, ultimately, again, at least for some point in time, you have to be able to do that through ownership over the shtar. So the guarantor, Levi, when he's creating his guarantee, that document must be in his possession for some amount of time. But here's the problem. The problem just is, I was like, we're not really doing these mechanics due justice, because there's a lot more involved in the way I'm presenting it. But again, for our purposes, it's enough to get clarity on the primary issue, which is get. So remember, again, the problem over here is, Levi's guarantee is coming after the document has been solidified. By the time the document has been solidified, whose possession is the document in? The malva, the lender, because that's the vehicle for his collection. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Amravashi Maikusha, Dilma Gavra Shaini Diadalak Nuye. We'll say once again, this is not a problem, because Reuven, the lender, could also understand that in order for the guarantee to be effective, he has to convey ownership to Levi, the guarantor, for some amount of time. Again, I will say, keep coming back to the same thing. The ability to convey ownership of a document to someone else is not in question, right? We know it can be done. What's the Shaila? Has it been done? I'll say, by the way, is this not the question so often in life? Like, in other words, I know that something can be done. The Shaila just says, am I doing it? It's very, more often than not, it's not a Shaila of can. It's a Shaila of if. Right? Has it been done or not? So once again, the Gemara says, El Amar Avashi Mihacha, Isha Kosev Esgita. So we'll say, listen to this. So we'll say, we keep coming back to our fundamental question. Remember again, what's our core case that we're focusing on over here? Woman has a tablet. She gives it to her husband. Husband writes the get. He gives it to her. So we'll say, so now, Rachel has in her possession a get. What's our Shaila? Is it an effective get? And we'll say, what does that effectiveness of the get hinge on? What does it hinge on? What happened when Rachel gave the tablet over to Reuven? Did she give it over to him as matana, conveying complete ownership over the tablet, and therefore Reuven wrote the get on his tablet and conveyed his tablet to Rachel? Or does Rachel think that she's just lending the tablet to Reuven, and ultimately, again, when Reuven writes the get, he's really writing the get on Rachel's tablet, in which case, what's the status of the get? Puzzle. So I will say, we thought that this was a question of whether or not you could convey ownership of a document to someone. We've clearly shown, yes, you could convey ownership of a document to someone. Our Shaila is she conveying ownership of this tablet when she gives it over? To which the Gemara finally resolves the question, Amar Ravashi Nehacha, Isha Kosev Eses Gita, Vayish Kosev Eshovro, Shin Kiyem Haget Ela Bechosamov. So we'll say the Gemara finally answers that Halacha L'maisa, a woman actually can go ahead and write her own get. So we'll say, this is actually even a stronger case. We'll say, let's say again, the woman, again, we'll have to see exactly what this case is, but it sounds like halacha l'maisa, the woman herself could write the get, right? Rashi says, that the woman could write the get, and ultimately, again, then convey ownership of that get over to her husband, right? The same way that the husband could go and write the receipt, ultimately, again, for ksuba payment. So what do you see from here? You see from here that a woman does have the ability and the knowledge to convey ownership of a document over to the husband. Therefore, Abosai, going back for just a moment, if halacha l'maisa, the woman gives her tablet over to the husband for the purposes of the get, we assume that she understands that that only works if she gives the tablet to her husband as a bona fide matana, as a bona fide gift. And therefore, Allah, when he writes the get, he's writing it on his tablet and then conveys back to her his tablet that now has her get written on it. Incredible. So the Gemara goes back to Amarava. Kasav la get finasno biat avdo. So listen to this. Let's say he writes her a get, and ultimately, again, he gives it over into the hand of her eved. The kasav la shtar matana alav kinasu umiskaresh esbo. So we'll say, very interesting case over here. So right, Reuven's married to Rachel. Reuven wants to divorce Rachel. So what does he do? Reuven writes a get, and Reuven has an Eved Kenani. Right, the Eved Kenani. I both remember again. Now what's Eved Kenani? Eved Kenani is property. So now Reuven puts the get into the hand of his Eved Kenani, and then writes a document gifting the Eved Kenani to Rachel, to his wife. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So ultimately, again, Kenasu. She acquires the Eved, umiskareshes bo, and ultimately she's divorced. Why? I will say why. Why? Because once she acquires the Eved effectively becomes her property. We're going to see, I will say, that one of the ways for a woman to acquire a get ultimately is through a kinyan chatzar. Remember, your property acquires on your behalf. So we're going to see a classic case. Well, let's say, again, Reuven's divorcing Rachel. Let's say Rachel's living in her own house. Reuven drives by, right, throws the get onto her front lawn, right? Again, we'll see the technical details, but if that get lands in her chatzar, in her courtyard, she is divorced. So Rava wants to suggest that's effectively the same mechanics over here. So Reuven has an Eved, Reuven writes a get, puts the get in the hand of the Eved. Eved is effectively a chatzar, it's effectively a courtyard, it's karka. Then he goes ahead and gifts the Eved to Rachel. When Rachel acquires the Eved, she acquires the get, and she is divorced.
The same as the other case. The first case we had. It's on his hand.
No, it's not the same as the first case. Remember, again, in that case, the get was on the Eved, right? So ultimately, again, if the Eved is the get, here the Eved is the chatzar. Very different case, very different mechanics. Right, so one case again, the Eved is the get. That's the case in the Mishnah, the get is written on the Eved. The Eved becomes the get, effectively. In this case, the Eved is a courtyard, the Eved is a chatzar. To which the Gemara says, aye, but one second, va'amai, chatzar ma'alechasi. One second, this is a mobile chatzar. The mobile chatzar, moving chatzar, since the Eved kawak. The chatzar ma'aleches lo kana. So I will say, part of the concept of a chatzar, of a courtyard being kona, is the fact that it's stationary. This is a chatzar ma'aleches. This ultimately, again, is a moving chatzar. And a moving chatzar, ultimately, again, is not kona. I will say, by the way, you know what this is reminiscent of? Remember, you know, so we had the same type of machlokas by an ohel, right? By an ohel, right? For example, an ohel has the ability to serve as a barrier to tumah. But remember, again, we had a machlokas about what? An ohel zrok, right? A movable ohel. So, right, once something becomes movable, often it's a fundamental identity changes. So the Gemara says, it's true, an eved is karka, right? Karka, land, has the ability to acquire like a chatzar. Only problem is that this is a moving chatzar. In general, a moving chatzar is not kona. Dichi tema ba'omeid. But maybe we're talking about a case where the Eved is standing still. Right? So I will say, so what's the case? The case is where the husband, right, Reuven writes a get, puts it in the hands of the Eved. Right? The Eved is standing still. He then conveys ownership of the Eved over to the Isha. She acquires the Eved. By dint of acquiring the Eved, ultimately, again, she acquires the get, because the Eved operates as her chatzar. She acquires the get through her chatzar. And he's standing still. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, kol shilu mahalech lo kana, omid v'yoshev lo kana." Let's listen to this. Well, Rava says that doesn't work. It doesn't work. I will say, because essentially, any time where if something was moving, it would not be kona. Even if it's standing still, it's not kona as well. So I will say. So since the Eved again has the ability to move, therefore, even if he's standing still, he can't go ahead and acquire on her behalf. So what's the case? I will say, "Hilchasa bikafus." Interesting. What are we talking about? A case of a bound Eved. The Eved is bound. He's tied up. So in this case over here, he cannot move. So this would be the case, let's say, where it will work. So technically speaking, hey, just give her the get, right? Just give it to her, right? Okay. But again, also remember, again, these cases are meant to be illustrative, and they teach us a number of principles along the way. So let's say what you see over here is something really fascinating. So first of all, let's say we're learning a lot of things. Number one, that a woman can be given a get through the mechanism of chatzar, which, again, we'll spend a lot of time on that. Right? So you could throw a get into her chatzar. We also know that, therefore, again, an eved operates essentially as karka. But the only way that an eved operates as karka that has the ability to convey ownership to its owner through king and chatzar is when the eved has been immobilized. And not just temporarily immobilized by telling him to stand still, literally immobilized that he cannot move if he wanted to. So if he's tied up, he's an immobilized chatzar, which then means if the husband writes the get, places the get in the eved's hand, right, and then goes ahead and conveys ownership of the eved, ultimately, again, she acquires the eved, she acquires her get. Incredible. Va'amarava. Rav Zerubbabel will say, there's another interesting case. Kasav la get v'nasna v'chatzero, the kasav la shtar matan alav. So let's listen to this. What happens if halacha l'maisa, similar case, husband writes a get, right, puts it in his chatzar, so right, Reuven owns a parcel of land, puts it in his chatzar, the kasav la shtar matan alav, then gifts the chatzar to Rachel, his wife, ultimately, again, she acquires the chatzar, and ultimately is divorced. So we'll say, by the way, I'll just mention to you, the reason why these cases are interesting and they could come up is because if you have a situation where the wife is unwilling to receive her get, right? And let's say halacha l'maisa, again, she's not accepting the get. So remember, I want to point out, everyone thinks about aguna cases as cases where husband won't give the wife a get. There is a parallel case of a situation where a wife will not accept the get. Those cases happen as well. She will not accept the get. So let's say, so now again, the difference is the husband has certain remedies that the wife does not. But Lamaisa, for example, so let's say here's an interesting case of a woman who would be recalcitrant to accept the get. So what could the husband do? Again, assuming that she's willing to accept the gift, what could he do? He could say, I'd like to give you a piece of property, right? He gives her a piece of property. Meanwhile, the get is in that property. When she acquires ownership over the chatzar, ultimately, again, she acquires ownership over the get as well. Okay, to which the Gemara says, Utsricha. Now the truth is, it's the same case, right? It's the same case. Chatzar and Eved are the same case. They're both utilizing Chatzar. So why do you need both cases? Tzricha, the Ashmin and Eved, Havamin and Dafka Eved. I would have thought a Dafka applies in the case of an Eved. Aval Chatzar, Ligzar, Mishum, Chatzar, Bala, Achar, Mekan. Now both say, I would have thought the Chatzar case does work. Now both say, I'll give you another case of Chatzar that doesn't work. Here's a case of Chatzar that wouldn't work. Let's say Reuven goes over to Shimon, and Reuven goes ahead and puts a get in Shimon's property, and then tells Shimon to go ahead and convey ownership of the property, right, Reuven and Shimon to gift the property to Rachel, Reuven's wife. That would not work. That's called Chatzar Bala Achar Mikan, which we'll get into. So I might have thought that even when the Chatzar belongs to Reuven, we should be Choshesh for the case of Chatzar Bala Achar Mikan. Therefore, again, we need that case. Yashmin Chatzar, Havamina Dafka Chatzar, Aval Eved Ligzer Kafos Atu She'eno Kafos. I will say again, if we were just talking about the case of Chatzar, I would have said Chatzar works, but maybe the case of Eved doesn't work out of a concern that you may come to use an Eved that is not bound. Kamash one, I will say both cases work. Halacha l'maisa, bottom line, what we are learning is that Reuven's husband could put the get in a piece of property that belongs to him, convey ownership of that property to his wife, and when his wife acquires ownership over that property, and obviously that requires her das, in other words, you can't give a gift to someone. Technically, maybe you can give a gift to someone without their das, but this is a case of das. When she acquires ultimately the piece of property, she acquires the get along with the property. Amar Rava. So I'm sorry, Amar Abaye. Michti. Chatzar mehechaz rabi. But say, from where do we know that a person's chatzar could acquire on their behalf? Right? Where does that concept come from? To which the Gemara says, if so, is rabi miyada. Ultimately, we see that chatzar is an extension of one's hand. The same way that one's hand could acquire on their behalf, so too chatzar is considered to be an extension of the hand. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if we say, ma yada di ise bein midaita bein bal karcha, so I'll say, here's what's interesting. Yad, ultimately, again, I will say, works with your intention and without your intention. For example, if a husband goes ahead and puts a get in his wife's hand, whether she wants it, doesn't want it, is knowledgeable, not knowledgeable, she's divorced. She's divorced. So Yad, fasting, Yad has the ability to acquire even without your consent. In other words, not even without your das, but even against your das. So maybe we would say Afchat Seira, Deisa Bein Midaita Bein Balkarcha. So we'll say, would you say also that Chatzar has the ability to work with your knowledge, without your knowledge, or even against your will? Vahamatana, so we'll say, but look at the case of a gift. Vahamatana Midaita Isa Balkarcha Lesa. Now we'll say, if you look in the case of Matana, Matana only works with one's consent, does not ultimately, again, work without one's consent. Look at Rashi, first white line, Balkar Chalasa, Di Amra I Avshi Lekabel Matana Mimenu, Lo Kanyele Laha Chatzar, Velo Magar Shebe, De Lo Amrit Le Nechal. So it's very interesting. So remember again, in all of our previous cases, Matana does not work against one's will. So I'll say, let's go back for just a second. Reuven goes in and places a get in his chatzar. And then Reuven conveys ownership of the chatzar over to Rachel, to his wife. So what do we say? What did we say? When Rachel acquires the chatzar, she also acquires the get. She's divorced. But remember, how does she acquire the chatzar? Only with her das. Right? In other words, he can't foist the matana upon her. So Gemara just pointed out something very interesting, which is, the concept of chatzar, that your courtyard acquires, that your property acquires on your behalf, is an extension of yad, of your hand. Yet, interestingly enough, your yad, your hand, could acquire even against your will. What's the case of your yad acquiring against your will? Reuven takes a get, puts it in Rachel's hand. She's divorced. Yet, interestingly enough, chatzar, which is an extension of your hand, apparently, again, does it acquire against your will or doesn't it? Because clearly in the case of Matana, it doesn't acquire against your will. To which the Gemara says, Maskevah of Sinim Arashi, V'hash Shlichos LeKabbalah. I will say, take a look at the case of Shlichos LeKabbalah. I will say, Shlichos LeKabbalah means the wife appoints a shaliach to receive the get on her behalf. Demidai Te'isa only works with her consent. Balkar Chalesa does not work against your will. V'ka Havi Shlichos LeKabbalah. And ultimately, again, it becomes a proper shliach. Abaye says, "Atu shlichos miada is Rabbi. Shlichos is not an extension of her hand. Mi v'shalach v'shilcha is Rabbi." We'll say ultimately again, shlichos ultimately again is learned out from the fact that it says v'shilcha ultimately again from the pasuk. V'ibay sema shlichos lekabala nami ashkechan balkarcha. The other possibility ultimately is that halacha lemaisa, maybe shlichos is also, you could also find the case of shlichos against her will. What's the case? Shekin av mekabel get lebito ketana balkarcha. What's an example of shlichos balkarcha would be a case of a father who has the ability to go ahead and receive a get on behalf of his minor daughter. So even if the girl does not want to get divorced, it's a case of where the father married her off, so halacha lemaisa, the father could go ahead and receive the get on her behalf even without her consent. So bottom line for our purposes, what do you see from here? Which is really something fascinating. So first of all, again, I will say, these cases of husband putting the get in his property and then conveying ownership of the property to the wife, again, assuming she accepts the gift willingly, ultimately works. She acquires the property and ultimately is divorced. What you also remember is a very important principle, that the concept that your chatzar, that your property acquires on your behalf, is an extension of yad, an extension of your hand. But even though, again, that is true, what we begin to see, and again, we're going to spend a lot of time on this sugya, what we begin to see is, even though chatzar is an extension of yad, chatzar doesn't always work the same way as yad. Yad has the ability to acquire still in ways that chatzar does not. Hold that, we're going to come back to this. Allah shal zayis. Next, the Mishnah said that you can go ahead and write the get on a leaf of an olive tree. So bishlam yad de'eved. So we'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah also then went on to say that you can go ahead and write the get on the hand of an Eved, but you give her over the Eved. It also said that you could write the get on the horn of a cow, and then what? Give her over the cow. So bishlami yad de Eved, I understand why if you go ahead and you write the get on the hand of the Eved, that you have to give her over the Eved. Why? Lo afshar l'miktzie. Because they're going to say, what are you going to do? You can't, Amud Beis, Chafal Amud Beis, top line, you 21b, you can't cut off the hand of the Eved. Right? In other words, we'll say, you can't cut off the hand of the Eved. So Allah, remember again, we'll say, if you go ahead, well, first of all, because we don't cut people's hands off, right? That's the simple answer. I think it requires too much more explanation than that. But let's say, but also remember, Eved Kinani goes out free as a result of loss of limb. Right? So if you go ahead and you knock, right, remember again, you cut off his hand, he's emancipated. See, if Rav says, Salocha Lameisa, if you write the get on the hand of the Eved, obviously not cutting off the hand, you have to give over the Eved. So it's Elekeren Shalpar, like save a lisek, but I understand, if you write the get on the horn of the cow, why can't you just simply cut off the horn and give it to the Eved? Why do you have to give over the whole cow? So this is very interesting. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'kasav v'nasama. Now, what's that? It's very interesting. The Pasuk by Gittin says, you write the get and you give it to her. So both say, in that phrase, the Gemara understands an immediacy, that the way a get works is, right after you write it, it must be ready for delivery without any intervening process. The Gemara says, Mishaina mechusar eleksiva unasina, which means as soon as you write it, right, the only way that a get is effective is if right after writing, it is fit to be delivered without any intervening process. Yosazeh shemechusar ksiva ketzitza unasina. So we'll say, for example, we're going to see that halacha lemaisa, if something requires an intervening process, like for example, cutting, right? Then ultimately, again, it is not going to be a proper get. I will say, this is the same idea that we saw before, that even according to the opinions that say that you could write, the Tanakhama that said that you could write a get on something that is attached to the ground, it only works if what? If you first detach it and then write it. But if you write it and then you have to still detach it, there's an intervening process. If there's an intervening process, that invalidates the get. Where do we learn that from? The kasav v'nasan. Write it and give it. Right after writing, it has to be ready to be given. Good. Rabbi Yosef Halevi, Omer, we'll say that. Remember, Rabbi Yosef Halevi said that halacha lamaisa, you can't use anything. I'm going to say, what was Rabbi Yosef Halevi's lashon? His lashon was, Rabbi Yosef Halevi said, Ein kosvin lo al davar sheyish ba ruach chayim v'lo ala ochlen. Rabbi Yossi says, you cannot go ahead and write a get on anything that is alive or anything that is a food item. Right? If it was alive or a food item, ultimately, again, you can't write the get on it. Says the Gemara. My time, Rabbi Yossi Elili. What's Rabbi Yossi Elili's logic? The Sanya, Sefer. Ein li ela Sefer. I only know. So I'll say, remember again, what does the Torah say? Torah, when speaking about it again, calls it a book. So I only know a sefer. Minayin l'rav is called davar. How do you know that it can even be written on other items? Tamal amar v'kasav lo mikom makom. Therefore, the pasuk says you write it mikom makom. Im kein ma tamud lomar sefer. If that's the case, then ultimately again, why does it say sefer? Ma sefer davar she'ein bo ruach chayim ve'ino ochel. Af kol davar she'ein bo ruach chayim ve'ino ochel. The teacher was a sefer, just like a sefer is something that ultimately, again, is not alive, right? It's not living, and it's not a food item, right? Sefer is, so we'll say, in general, if it's called a sefer, it means A, it's not a living thing, right? Or, right, not a living thing, and it's not food. I've called the Rishim Ruachayim Ve'in Ocho. So the Rabbi said, the halacha is for a get, you could use anything that is not alive and is not food. Rabbi said, this is the position of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. V'Rabbanon. Rabbanon would say, Iksiv basefer kidika amrit. If the Torah would have said, you write to get basefer in a sefer, then I would have agreed with you that basefer comes to teach me you can't use something that was alive and you can't use something that is a food item. Hashta dichsiv sefer, but now that it says sefer, l'sfiras dvarim hu da'asa. We'll say sefer is not meant to tell you about what the get is written on, but rather sefer is meant ultimately, again, to be a descriptive term, that the get must be a narrative of the process of divorce. Sfiras dvarim ba'alma. Rashi says over here, Hasha dechsev sefer einzu ela v'kasav sfiras divrei krisos. The get has to be a narrative. We'll say, what's the narrative of the get? The narrative of the get is so-and-so the husband, said to so-and-so the wife, right? In so-and-so place. So sefer means sfiras devarim, a narrative. Rabbanon, hai v'kasav my avdei. What do the Rabbanon do with the phrase, or the word v'kasav? Nibayle v'ksila miskareshes and miskareshes v'kasav. To teach us that a woman is divorced only through writing and ultimately, again, not through money. I will say, what does that mean? Sagadait Chanina, I would have thought, Akish Yitzia Lahavia. I would have thought that there is a strong connection between marriage and divorce. How so? How so, the Gemara says, Mahavia Bekesef, Af Yitzinai Bekesef. Just like ultimately, again, marriage is affected through money. So I would have thought that divorce is affected through money as well. In other words, say, just like you enter into marriage with Kesef Kiddushin, so too maybe you could dissolve marriage through money as well. Kamash Malanat, Kamash Malanat, I will say that ultimately, again, the Kasaf teaches me that divorce is only affected through writing. Ve'idach, Nafkalei, Mi Sefer Krisos. Ultimately, I will say the other opinion was learn that from Sefer Krisos. Sefer Karsa, Ve'in Davar Acher Karsa. Ultimately, it is only a safer, only a book, right? An instrument of writing that could affect divorce. Nothing else could affect divorce. The other opinion says, so we'll say the other opinion says, no, Sefer Krisos teaches me that a divorce must be an absolute division, right? Kores has to be something that permanently splits the couple, as opposed to what Kisavos is actually very interesting. Harizegiteich, amnas shlotishti yayin, so say, watch this. We're going to talk about the concept of putting conditions in a get. So let's say husband attached to the following condition. This is your get on the condition that you never drink wine. Right? Again. Or on the condition that you never go to your father's home again, forever. So we'll say, what's that halacha? In zekrisos. That is not a proper get. Now, why is this not a proper get? Because halacha lemaisa, there is a condition which tethers them to one another forever. In other words, there is an eternal condition attached to this document. Ad shloshim yom. What happens if he says to her, this is your get, assuming that you don't drink wine for 30 days, or you don't go to your father's home for 30 days. Under those conditions, hare zekrisos. Ultimately, again, this case, why? I'll say, why? Because it's episodic. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, it's not a proper get. Ve'idach, the other opinion will say, Mekaris Krisos, he learns this out from the concept. I could have just said, Karis, Sefer Karis, instead it says Krisos. Ve'idach, Karis Krisos, Ladashin. The other opinion will say, we don't dash in Karis Krisos. Rabbi Yosef, so this is the back and forth between the Rabbanon, ultimately, again, Rabbi Yosef Lili. Rabbi Yosef Lili ultimately learning out that halacha lemaisa, the fact that the Torah says, Sefer Krisos, teaching me that halacha lemaisa, the get cannot be written on any item that is alive or ultimately a food item. I'll say, how do we paskin? Rabban paskin is like the chachamim, namely, you can write a get on a food item, you could write a get on something that was alive, but remember, there is a very important caveat. What's the caveat? The caveat is the kasav v'nasan. There can't be any intervening process between writing and giving. Rather, as soon as the get is written, it must be ready and suitable for immediate delivery. All right, then we'll say shkoyach. Stop over here. Meretz Hashem, new Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoyach.